Welcome to another episode of Commission Chats. I'm your host, John Scapini. Commission Chats is a podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the United States Sentencing Commission. Today is part four of our Problem Solving Courts miniseries, where we'll be joined by Judge Stephen Boo of the Western District of Missouri, who discussed the district's intensive trauma court and reentry programs. If you haven't listened to them yet, the other episodes in this miniseries are available on iTunes. I'll now pass it over to my colleague, Lori Baker, who recently spoke with Judge Boo.
Good morning, Judge Boo.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking some time to talk with us today. Before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been on the bench, how you became involved with alternative courts?
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. This is such an important conversation. I feel really honored and humbled to be able to participate in this. I've been on the bench approximately 9 years and came to the table with absolutely zero experience in the criminal realm. I literally paid somebody else to handle my occasional speeding ticket. And so for me, it was really a brand new process, having always done civil work. And so then coming to the table, trying to do all I can to learn about what a criminal case is and new rules of evidence and a Giglio violation and just going on and on. There's so much to learn. I'm really blessed to be able to attend Sentencing Commission workshops and other workshops to learn just a little bit. But I was even more blessed that we had an existing reentry court program. Before I came on, 15 years before that, Judge Ortrey Smith started one of the very first alternative specialty courts in the federal judiciary. And that was taken over by John Moffmer. And then when they had a young eager beaver come on, they decided to put me in.
It was time to pass the torch.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about your program.
Well, we are in a transition on our program. So I took over the reentry court, and that was, you know, a backside program. So individuals who had served their time, whatever the district judge had ordered, and they had come out. And if they would agree to a much more intensive supervised release, if they would agree to counseling, if they'd agree to community service, if they would agree to come see me twice a month, well, they could get their supervised release time cut in half. Then a couple years ago, Chief Judge Beth Phillips, started working with our same team of people, and we bring a partnership approach. We're partners with the public defender, probation, and U.S. Attorney's Office. Decided to start our first drug court, and it was an intensive drug court. Same approach, except it was a front side court. And so on the front side court, you don't go to prison unless you mess up in the drug court. And so that's where we were for a couple of years due to some changes in laws that had been signed and how things were going. We saw a large number of people being released for home confinement while in the Bureau of Prisons. And that dramatically affected the number of individuals who wanted to come see me twice a month. If you spend a year or two theoretically in the BOP, but in the community and location monitoring and drug testing and doing all those things, and you walk that down for 2 years, well, then you weren't really that scared of being on paper and would want to do that. So we revamped. We've decided to take our reentry court and our drug court and created this intensive trauma court. And again, I'm blessed to have wonderful colleagues and Chief Judge Beth Phillips, who was the U.S. attorney before she became a federal judge, has so much experience, and she helped us start this intensive trauma court. And so, as opposed to just being a drug addict, we're looking at other folks. And so we're about halfway full. We got 12 participants right now, and we're going to hopefully get up to 25. And these are folks that the one unifying factor is they have an issue that can be addressed through counseling. And so that's where we're at now in an intensive trauma court.
So your intensive trauma court is a front end program, correct?
It's a front end program. And so these folks don't go to prison. So we are, while intensive trauma court obviously has some costs with it, just like any supervised release. If you imagine that's, you know, 10,000 or so, and federal prison is 40,000 or
sure.
so, we are saving the taxpayers $30,000 per participant in our intensive trauma court.
Right. So you mentioned your partners in the program. Your team includes the U.S. Attorney's Office, Federal Public Defenders, Probation Officer. What is your role within that team?
Well, I can't talk enough about my partners. And so let me digress there and not answer your question.
Fair enough.
talk about those partners. The U.S. Attorney's Office has been enormously supportive of this. And so we're very fortunate to have a thoughtful U.S. Attorney's Office that understands that not everybody needs to go to prison for a decade to reform themselves, that there's other people lower in a conspiracy or lower in some type of arrangement that they don't need to go. So that our U.S. Attorney's Office representative is a gentleman named Jeff MacArthur, and he does a fantastic job. Our Public Defender's Office, probably not surprising, is enormously supportive of people not always having to go to prison to change their life. Our representative there is Carrie Allen. Two fantastic trial lawyers in Jeff and Carrie that don't mind going at it in court, but also don't mind being positive players in this particular program. Our probation office individuals, Katie Meister leads up our program, and she has run this program for a decade, and she really keeps us in fidelity to our rules. And the rest of the probation office, we move and change that out over every couple of years because it's a much more intensive supervised release, and they've been great participants. In addition to Chief Judge Phillips, Judge LaWanna Counts, one of our magistrate judges, is our partners in this because sometimes I'm in civil trials. Sometimes I need to go outside of Kansas City to hear cases in other Jeff City or Springfield, our outstate areas. And so they are capable of stepping up and helping that out. But as my judge, my job, and I think the job of every judge who sits in any specialty court, whether it's the Kansas City Municipal Domestic Violence Specialty Court or our Intensive Trauma Court, whatever, you know, to be an affirming, positive cheerleader, it takes an opportunity to step away from that adversarial role and to encourage folks. There comes a time when I have to send people to prison, and I can easily put that hat back on and lecture about the mistakes that they made and, you know, the nature and circumstances of the offense under 3553. I can go back to that in a heartbeat. But what the new skill that I had to work on was trying to be positive and affirming. I've had people in our specialty courts tell me, I was the first man who ever said anything positive to him. And,
wow.
You know, that's shocking and sad, but also reinforces the power of saying something positive, holding somebody accountable, giving them the tools to go in a different path, and, you know, being an affirming, positive judge. And I think all of our federal judges have that ability, or they wouldn't have made it in the world. But it's just different to sit on a bench, wear a black robe, and the first thing I ask every participant every time is to tell me something positive and to affirm the positive steps they're making, even if I do have to bust their chops and send them for more counseling or send them for more intensive drug treatment or, you know, gripe at them about maintaining a job, you can still use this specialty court to find something positive.
So it sounds like you really have an opportunity to step out of that traditional role that you have on the bench in the, you know, trial, plea, sentencing function and see a whole different perspective.
you really get to go a whole different route. But I think it's important to understand that, you know, federal judges are a central part of our criminal justice system. We are not just people who sentence, even though that's the majority of what I do as a federal judge and the majority of what my peers do. We are an essential part of this criminal justice process. And I don't think anyone would tell you that they are proud of our recidivism rate in this nation. I don't think anybody would say that they're proud that our justice system incarcerates a greater percentage of our population than other nations. Nobody's saying that's a good thing. So if we want a different result, we've got to try something different. And that something different is to not literally take off the robe, but figuratively take off the robe and say, I'm a part of this system. I don't like the end result, and I'm going to try something different, because these are humans and we want better out of them. We have taxpayers that I'm not tracking every dollar I spend and reporting into taxpayers, but I know that we have the most expensive system in the free world. Right. And if we're going to pay $40,000 per person to put them in the BOP, I want a great result.
Right.
And nobody's telling you we got a great result.
So can you tell me about any of your program successes?
Well, if this wasn't a podcast, I'd love to show you pictures along with it, because I have folks here. I had a probation officer's mother was so proud that we did community service together, and we go to a food bank, and I've got U.S. Marshals there with guns who can't resist packing food with us. I've got probation officers who are usually on the watch packing food with us. We've got folks who may have done some time in federal prison packing food with us, and I'm there. And so this probation officer's mom was so proud that we were doing community service together. I got a pair of leather gloves right here in my chambers. I've got a gentleman who, he's currently driving for a contractor for the Postal Service, making six figures a year. He bought a house with his wife, and they're just doing fabulous. And for all the listeners out there, they couldn't tell my wonderful sporty haircut. our first perfect graduate from reentry court is a gentleman that cuts my hair. He's coaching his two kids' football team. Him and his wife bought their first house here in Kansas City. He's doing wonderful at this barbershop that he's running. It's hard to get an appointment with him because he's doing so well. And so knowing those successes and meeting those people and watching them thrive when given an opportunity and given some support, giving them the same amount of support that I would want to be given to my children. There was a hiccup in life. I would want my children to be judged individually on their merits and be given an opportunity at a second chance. And so watching that play out, have we had failures? You bet. Have I had to send people back to prison, both in the drug court and in reentry? Yes. And is that hard? Yeah, it's harder. It's harder when you've met them as a person or when they've been there at a graduation and you've had cupcakes and then they relapse and screw up and you got to send them to prison. Yeah, it's harder. And I think anytime you expose your heart in that way, anytime you open up, is it harder? Yeah.
Sure.
Is it worth it? Because my barber's doing great and I hear about his kids doing well in football. It's totally worth it.
So what are you most looking forward to in 2024? Is there anything on the horizon for your program?
We're doing some really neat things in our ITC, in our intensive trauma court. And I think this we're learning through that about how that works. And, you know, we had somebody that committed fraud on a PPP loan that we initially let into the program. We just don't need her there. That individual doesn't need to be there. We need to be a little smarter about how we pick. Not that the people picking aren't brilliant, but you know, we're learning through that process. And I think so that's really exciting for us to kind of see how that goes and how we expand to address that, you know, in expanding and getting to the number where we want to be. We're learning. I need to be able to, or Judge Phillips or Judge Counts needs to have about 3 to 4 minutes with each participant. But this doesn't go quick, right? I mean, we meet beforehand and we discuss everybody, and we've got a counselor there that, you know, talks about how they're doing, doesn't reveal anything privileged, but yeah, you know, yeah, they talked about that. Yes, all these things that we know, this is going really well. All that takes time. And so we're really trying to figure out, how do we manage this successful program that's saving taxpayers' dollars and helping out people succeed, how much time that takes. We're thinking about every Thursday doing one so that we don't we only have 10 or 12 participants in at a time. Because you need to, you don't need to blow somebody off. You need to connect. You need to be able to talk about how they're doing at their job and how they're doing in their housing and how they're doing in relationships with others.
Right.
We, you know, so we're learning through that. And that's an exciting portion. And, you know, it's exciting because the Chiefs are going to win another Super Bowl and Taylor Swift's going to do more concerts. So we really have a lot to look forward to.
Yes, you do.
In 2024 here in Kansas City.
Well, the last thing I'll ask you today is, if a listener wanted to start up a program in their district, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would encourage you to meet with folks who are currently doing these programs. We've gone around and talked to different programs, and as we were trying to expand into ITC and the intensive trauma court, there's so much to be learned. You don't need to start at ground zero. There's so much information. On the Western District of Missouri's website, we have a host of information on our reentry court and our drug court. We have all our programs on there and procedures. We'd love to host people. And there's lots of great programs just like that. I mean, honestly, we stole from the state court system much of what we're doing. The very first drug court in America was down in Florida. The second drug court was here in Jackson County, Kansas City, Missouri. That was the second drug court. And so we are blessed that one of my peers, Judge Brian Wines, was the state court drug commissioner before he became a state court circuit judge and before he became a federal district judge. So there's so many resources out there. There's no reason to start at ground zero. And there's a lot of information out there. But, you know, showing up, watching some of them, partnering, I know there's programs out there that it's not a partnership with the prosecutor's office and the public defender's office and the probation office. And I know that, you know, Kansas City, we have a great relationship. And I think that's part of the culture of charm of Kansas City, is folks can somehow get along, but it just makes it so much better. All of us have veto power over who gets in the program. But we somehow are able to work through it and find folks that work. And, you know, nobody's using their veto pen just to be vindictive. It's always intelligent, thoughtful reasons why. Oh, this person is cooperating against somebody. We can't have the cooperator in with somebody else.
Sure.
Yeah, there's intelligent reasons that come to that. So I really encourage people to sit down and talk about it. I know in some jurisdictions, people think negatively of these specialty courts, that we're going soft on people. And I just really encourage people to think about, how do we get a better result? If somebody's really proud of our 50%+ recidivism rate, that's exactly how they think the criminal justice system could work. Well, then maybe a specialty court's not for them. If somebody's really proud that we spend $40,000 per inmate and have that, well, maybe it's not for them. But I don't know anybody like that. Everybody I know wants to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. Everybody I know wants a different result. They want a better result. And so for some, not all, for some nonviolent offenders who are dealing with addictions or dealing with underlying trauma, these can be more successful programs that I think, I don't care where you're at on the political spectrum, everybody wants a better result for the huge amount of money that we spend. And I think and we're starting as a nation to really be much more thoughtful about that. And I love to brag on our governor of the state of Missouri, Governor Parsons, who happens to be a Republican, has been enormously thoughtful and progressive about this. And, you know, people sometimes start with the veteran court because we all want to have a understand the people who have been through war and the trauma that comes from service overseas. Maybe we can find a different approach to that. He's signed statewide legislation allowing for veterans courts. He's also signed statewide legislation allowing for drug courts and has said publicly, we can't incarcerate our way out of this problem. We've tried and we can't. And so people of all political stripes are embracing this, whether it's through how do we save money and get a better result or how do we help people and get a better result? I don't care. We're getting better results through our state court drug courts, through our state court veteran courts, through our federal court programs. We can get a better result, save taxpayer dollars, get people back out in their community paying taxes. And that's what we all hope for.
Right. Well, it sounds like you've got some great things going on out there in Missouri and specifically in Kansas City. And we really appreciate you taking your time with us today to tell us about those experiences.
Lori, thank you so much for having us. And we'd love to host you here in Kansas City if you ever want to come out and check out our program.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Commission Chats. Stay tuned for more episodes in our Problem Solving Courts miniseries. For more information on Problem Solving Courts, visit our website, ussc.gov, and hover over the Education tab to access all of our Problem Solving Court resources. That's all for now. I'm John Scapini, and thanks for listening to Commission Chats.